107.9.
Welcome to Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns and the St. Paul Church. Prepare your heart now to be blessed by today's message.
Sometimes these moments of confrontation with our limits are setups by the infinite intellect to reveal where we are and to push us towards the greater level of faith maturity. Okay, I'm going to say that again, because if you missed that, actually, then you missed the whole sermon today. Interestingly enough, there are times when these moments of confrontation with our limits are setups. Everyone say setups. Are setups by the infinite intellect, by the sovereign God, to reveal where we really are or who we really are in that season. But more importantly, to push us towards the greater level of faith maturity. What's so profound and yet so perplexing is that God uses our awareness of limits to not show us who we aren't, but to show us who he really is. Okay, I'm going to say that again because y'all acting slow. Don't miss this. God uses these perplexing, painful moments where he makes us aware of our limits to not show us who we're not, but to ultimately show us who he really is. These limits are not the worst thing then, but sometimes there's the best thing, because limits stretches us into the amazing place of trusting God. Talk to St. Paul. It stretches us into the amazing place of trusting God. Talk to St. Paul. He uses limits in resources, limits in attendance, limits in strength, and limits in capacity to push us beyond us to trust him. Because when it looks like we don't have it, the good news is we know who does. I need someone to be encouraged today, because Jesus Christ has come that we might not only be saved from sin, but that we live beyond the boundaries, barriers, and obstructions that are strategically positioned to impede our growth. He did it this way to stretch us. He set us up to push us beyond our own faith level into another dimension of faith. Because watch this, Minister Elder Breon, because he knows that our next dimension requires not more money, it requires more faith. Okay, I'm going to help you. Because if you think that money answers every one of your problems, then you are sadly mistaken. It is the power to believe that God has all authority, and if I trust him, he is able to do abundantly more than I could ever ask or hope for. Jesus Christ using these moments to stretch your faith, because he knows how he's going to work it out on your behalf. He's already figured it out. He's already decided how he's going to meet your need. And if you don't cancel it out with disobedience and desperation, you're going to become a living, walking testimony that God is able to meet your needs beyond anything you could ever imagine. And so sometimes we do become a little discombobulated and disheartened. But the greatest testimony is in the fact that God did this when I didn't have that. And in spite of what I look like I don't have, I serve a God that has a purpose and a plan even for my limits. So he did this to stretch me. I need to encourage somebody today and tell you that the Lord has not set you up for failure. He already knows how he's going to do it. Okay, I'm going to say it again, because this side is acting a little slow, so I'm going to come get you. He's already figured out how he's going to do it. He just don't need you to panic, okay? You don't know when to shout, well, I'm going to come get you. He already knows how he's going to work it out. I know some of y'all real intelligent, pseudo-sophisticated people don't really believe in the sovereignty of God. You believe in the strength of humanism. But I came to tell you, all of y'all humanists, don't you dare put all your weight on you, because at the end of the day, this ain't really about you. Sister George is really about him. And if you trust him, he will secure your victory, because he is the great provider. He is the great sustainer. And so you ought to get excited with me today, because here's the good news. He's about to prove to you that he has the last word. And if you cannot complain, and if you cannot quit, he will stretch you and give you victory. Is there anybody here that knows that your God has already worked it out. I know that seems faith simplistic and a little naive for the complicated, complex thinker, but here's the good news. He's already, already worked it out. That's the power of this story for me. The power of this story for me has nothing to do with just the question, even though that was one of six questions, one of seven questions asked by divinity to humanity, with the answer already being understood. The power is in Philip's response to the question. How are we going to feed all these people? And Philip says, well, for everyone to have a little, watch this, for everyone to have a little, it would take 200 silver coins, and we ain't got it. I'm talking to my church today. For anything to happen, we ain't got it. We don't know how we're going to do it. So guess what? We're stuck. So send them away so the weight ain't on us. First mistake is you've assumed weight that he didn't tell you to assume. He told you to trust him for it. Okay, so watch this. So what are the reasons then for Jesus orchestrating this stretching situation? Here it is, Brother Chairman. Here's the first reason. This is probably one of the most important reasons, Jason. Why the Lord puts you in places where you are in over your head. You know what I've discovered? One of the things I discovered, Gina, you know, we used to say, and I want everybody in this church never to say it again. I want you to never say it again. One, because it ain't biblical. Two, because it ain't true. You know, we say, we've always said, and y'all have heard it, I've said it, you said it, because it makes you feel good, makes you feel warm and fuzzy, but actually it ain't true. He won't put no more on you. That's a lie. Nah, I need some folk who will finally kill the myth. He will put more on you. Or he will let you feel like you got more on you than you can handle. Look at the text. They ain't got no answer. Okay, it's 5,000 men, not including women and children. So chances are it's 15 to 20,000 people in that field. And the Lord says, feed them. And feed us. And Philip says, we ain't got it. Okay, this house got quiet. How many times have you been given a challenge that you shrunk from because you were counting what was in your hand and not counting on the one that's in whose hand you're in? See, the power of this, that the first reason the Lord does this then, watch this, Deacon Stephon, is to expose the present stage of faith of the disciples. This is key. Notice that the disciples, that these men would become the vessels and voices of the redemptive movement of Jesus upon his return to the Father. These men would be given stewardship of the very call and commission to the gospel, to take the gospel to all the world. Through them, signs and wonders, get this, through them, signs and wonders would be performed. Through them, the world would be introduced to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. They would be the leaders of what would become the church, and they would be the promoters, promulgators and protectors of the spirit of koinonia, which would to this day define the church as unique. Yet Jesus knew they were not ready for this mammoth and massive assignment. They would become in the future men of great power and strength, but Jesus knew in the present they were not ready. I need you to get this. Jesus understood that if he releases the assignment to them now, they will shrink and crumble under the faith need of it. And so he delays release to mature their faith by putting them in a situation where he is in it, but he is going to put some demand on them to show them where they really are. Okay. Hey, anybody remember taking driver's ed? I'm talking about after school, y'all. Remember taking driver's ed? And the car was designed interesting. Anybody remember the car that was, yeah, you on the driver's side, but on the other side, there was also a little steering wheel. There was a pedal and a brake on the other side where the teacher was. Watch this. Because even though there was the illusion you were driving, the teacher understood that in any moment, if we looked like we were going to crash, I would take control of the wheel. Okay. The Lord says, here's how I'm going to grow your faith. I'm going to put you in something that's going to make it look like it's on you. Now, I've already figured out that I'm going to give y'all $7,000 and y'all ain't got to worry about it. But I'm going to see if y'all believe me enough to start the process. Y'all ain't got it. I've already decided the bank going to give you the money for your business, but I'm going to see if you're going to go past a realtor and try to get the building. I've already decided that I'm going to heal your body of cancer, but I'm going to let you see if you got enough faith to believe me while you're going through the surgery. I've already decided that I'm going to get your children through college, but I'm going to give you that one semester where you ain't got the money and you got to praise me in spite of. I need some real people here to open your mouth and declare he's still in the car. It's exposure to your faith level. He wants to really see whether you believe him or not. He ain't going to let you drown. He just going to make you swim. Are you getting it? The tough thing then is that for far too many of us, our faith level doesn't match what he wants us to become in the future. So he puts us in moments of stretching us. And they're the most uncomfortable moments because they look like failure. They look like they ain't gonna work. But here's the power of God. The key is that in every opportunity is an opportunity to grow. In every opportunity is an opportunity. Okay, I take you even further. I make it even clearer and cleaner. And every problem is an opportunity for something to get better. Every problem is an opportunity. The problem is you see the problem as a problem and not an opportunity, which means that you take out of the opportunity and you make the problem only about the problem and not the problem about an opportunity, which means that you missed the reason why you had the problem. The problem was not to be a problem. It was to birth faith so you could see the opportunity in it. God said, I didn't give you a problem just so you could have a problem. I gave you a problem so you could have an opportunity, because if you can take advantage of the opportunity in the problem, then you will discover that it was never a problem, it was only an opportunity. And because it was only an opportunity, if you can trust me, I'm going to turn every problem into something that's going to develop your faith and mature you for the glory of God. Somebody needs to get excited, because your last problem was really your biggest opportunity. It was your chance to see God be God. Here's the second reason why he puts us in stretching moments. And this really blew me away. He uses stretching moments to illustrate the only posture by which faith fully functions. He puts us in situations to give us the illustration of the posture by which faith fully functions. Faith doesn't function in arrogance and confidence in you. One of the biggest mistakes that we make in today's world is filled with a lot of self-help literature. I listen, Andrew, to a lot of self-help stuff. I do. I listen to self-help stuff. And the other day I was listening to something, and I can't pronounce the guy's name. I can spell it DEEPKACHOPRA. The pot shut something, right? I can't pronounce it. But I listen to him. I listen to him because he has said some really kind of profound stuff. The danger is that for someone who is not spiritually mature, you will buy into the humanistic strand that runs through that kind of stuff. Because here's what's deep. Faith ain't faith if the faith is in you. That's called arrogance. Faith is faith because it is deposited in something outside of you that you now have to trust. Okay, how many of y'all get a check from somebody that's not you? Let me see your hands of everybody. I love Dan Smith's face. How many of y'all get a check for, okay, I'm sorry, a job? retirement. Your name is not on the check given to you. You don't cut the check. Somebody else cuts the check and somebody else decides how much you're going to get. Y'all got it? Okay. How many of y'all get the check or used to get the check, and when you got the check, you went to the bank? Let me see your hands. Now, most of y'all now have direct deposit. Even I, who do not believe in direct deposit, now have direct deposit, you know, and I don't believe in it. I don't believe in direct deposit. I like it when I see the money in the bank, but I don't believe in it. I am old school Frank Guns. I believe you stand in line at the bank and you see, look at Ashley. All you millennials don't get it. I love sitting there talking to the people behind the little glass counter. I like that because I want to know who's touching my money. Right, so Sherry, but how many of y'all remember the day you used to get your little check and go on the 15th and the 30th, stand in line with the little white, yeah, I like you, Corbin, stand in line with the little white deposit slip and wait your turn in line. How many of y'all remember that? Okay, big statement. Why did you take that time to stand in line with a piece of paper, believing that that piece of paper had some power? Y'all ain't got it yet. You put confidence in the folk whose name was on the signature. Y'all still ain't got it. Here's what I came to tell you. If you trust folk you don't know who put their name on a piece of paper, why can't you trust the God you talk to every day? Because what you discover is faith ain't really about confidence in you. It's confidence in him. So the goal of the enemy is to make sure you never believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more. The goal is always keep you in doubt, in dubity, and in suspicion. But when you begin to fully function in faith, there's some things you have to do. Notice what Jesus says and does as it relates to the multitude. And notice how the multitude, soteria, benefits. Notice what Jesus says, which means that the essence of faith, faith in its purest form, is trusting Jesus to the point that you follow exactly what he instructs. Listen at the instructions. On the first posture is obedience. Verse 10, and tell them to sit down. Yes, tell them to sit down. And then he gives them the bread and the fish. And then he tells them to distribute it. Obedience tells them to sit down. Faith begins with obedience. Secondly, humility. And they sat down. Okay, and they sat down in a grassy place. The language of the text suggests that it was almost like this grassy carpet-looking field. So watch this. The first posture is obedience. You do exactly what he says. Second is humility. You humble yourself or you sit yourself down before him. You allow yourself to rest in him. One of the great things, because today we're going to be commissioning those who go to Africa, I heard this great story, years ago. Great story about a preacher trying to define faith in Africa, because the word for faith in their language did not have any kind of comparative relationship. And so the man was talking to them, and he was trying, Sister Tracy, define faith, and he couldn't find a way to define it. So he took a chair. Here, grab a chair for me real quick. He took a chair because he had run out of ways to describe faith. He didn't, because intellectually he couldn't do it. So he took a chair and he did this. And he said, faith is this. And he sat down on the chair. And they looked at him. He said, okay, watch this, Andrew. He said, faith, Sister Graham, is this. And he sat down again. And they said, okay, what does that mean? And then he got it. He said, faith is when you put all of your weight on something you can't control. Okay. I need everybody in the room to do something really quick. Because I think if that's you, everybody in the room, do something really quick. Real quick. Just stand up real quick. If you can physically stand up real quick. Now watch this. Sit down. Okay. Stand up again. Sit down. Sister Bush said, I ain't gonna do this too many more times. One last time. Stand up again. You have sat down twice at my instruction. Here's what you've not done. Not one time have you turned around to check to see the chair. That's right. Now, one time, have you asked the question, who made the chair? Can I get the credentials of the chair maker? What factory did you make the chair in? Not one time did you decide you were going to inspect the chair. You just sat down. Here's what I come to tell you. You inspect God, but you don't inspect stuff. Because here's what's deep. The enemy got us concerned about whether God can do it, but we trust the stuff that we make. But I need you to look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God is like this chair to me. I ain't gonna talk about it. I ain't gonna discuss it. I'm just gonna sit down, because I discovered that every time I sit down, he holds me up. Is there anybody that can declare that every time I sit down, he holds me up? Y'all be seated. Sit down. Now some of y'all look back. See, what's interesting is that faith is about obedience. It's about humility. But notice the last thing we see, expectation. You ready? Here's the expectation. They sat down because he told them, because they were expecting something to happen. Okay. Okay. I got to get y'all out of here. I got a big question. You came up in here today. Why? Huh? Why? Because you go to church. You can stay home for that. Some people do now. Why? Here's why you came up in here. Because you believe that if I get to a building, something may happen on my behalf. See, I like this side. This side ain't helping me. All y'all that came in here for perfunctory, obligatory religiosity reasons, you should have kept your happy hips at the house. You only get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and put on your clothes and drive across town because you believe that if I can make it to church, something is supposed to happen. There's no reason why. And what radical faith really is when you open your mouth and declare to God, God, I just believe that if I pray, something is going to happen. I believe if I pay my tithe, something is going to happen. I believe that if I forgive them for what they've done to me, something is going to happen. I believe that if I shout, something is going to happen. I believe that if I sow, something is going to happen. Is there anybody in the room that says, I just believe that something? Expectation is an amazing thing. It allows us never to be defeated by situations. Well, here's the last reason he stretched them. And then I'll go to the next service. And I'm so excited about this last one, because here's the real joy of when the Lord stretches you. He stretched them. You ready? Because he empowered them with an undeniable example of his authority. Whew. You want to know why he stretched them? Because he empowered them with an undeniable example of his authority. Text says, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? The Bible says he did this to stretch his faith. Here it is, James. Mr. James, here's what he says. He says, Lord, we ain't got enough money to do it. The Lord says, I just need you to see where your faith really is. Can I help some of you and tell you that this last situation that God put us in as a church, last situation that God put some of you in your lives, the last situation that your family's gone through, has really been a faith examination more than anything else. Oh, don't get mad. Check your faith. Because if you prayed for something and then you doubted it after you prayed for it, that does not mean God didn't want you to have it. It just means he wanted to check your faith level. Now, here's what smart people do in the spirit. They learn the lesson and grow from it. They don't get mad. They don't get offended. They go, wow. They learn the lesson.
And let me tell y'all how I know this is true. Kathy, let me tell you how I know this is true. I'm going to give you a little story. Lately, our air conditioner has been acting like it doesn't know Jesus. Right? It's been acting at the house, acting like it don't know Jesus, right? It's been acting like it don't know Jesus. So we got two units. The one upstairs just, you know, it was acting crazy. So I had to call the people out. People came out. After I called the people out to do an inspection, right? After I called the people out to do an inspection, which, you know, I pay for the inspection and the servicing, then they come out to look at it because now it's acting stupid, right? They come out, God notices something, does a little something, fix it, couple hundred dollars, fine, okay. So now, my wife texts me this week, says, hey, guess what? The downstairs ain't really working now. It's hot. I said, how hot is it? She said, 83. I said, that ain't bad. Do like the old folk. Go get a window fan. Oh, don't get brand new. Some of y'all just got window units last week. Don't get new. You ain't grew up with Central Air. You grew up with Central Windows. You waited till it got cool at night, right? So we sitting here, and oh, okay. So all of a sudden she called me back. She says, hey, this ain't great news. I said, oh, what's wrong? She said, well, they said the wiring is kind of da-da-da-da-da. So immediately I have a 10-second panic mode because I'm paying for a wedding that's already happened. Because they still getting married in February. I know I'm shaking my head. And I'm paying for somebody who's now in college. And I'm handling a lot of different stuff. And I said, okay, God, I done watch this. I done already thought through my money. Broke air conditions ain't in the budget. Okay, I need some real people in here. I factored in lights, but I didn't factor in air conditions. So all of a sudden the Lord said, calm down, I got it. I said, okay, however you're going to fix it, you need to fix it because I ain't got what this wiring thing sound like. All of a sudden my wife takes me back and said, you will not believe this. I said, what? She said, the man just said, listen, I can fix this and repair this and I can rewire this and ain't going to charge y'all nothing. And I said, it kosha, I spoke in tongues. Okay. Y'all talk about me all you want. You better learn how to praise him. God had already figured out that he was going to make the man move to be a blessing. He wanted to test if I would panic. Y'all still ain't got it. Some stuff he's already worked out. He just testing to see if you still in the panic mode. And then when he brings you out, he said, now, do you understand? How many times has he fixed stuff you panicked about? How many times did he make a way, but he was just seeing if you would lose your mind? I need somebody to wake up here. He did this to stretch you.
Let me close. Undeniable example of his power. In essence, he gives you a present day testimony for a future assignment. He puts something in your faith file to keep you encouraged. So when you get ready to go through the next thing, you already know you got victory. Slap your neighbor high five and tell him, I already know. In other words, here's what he was showing them. He was showing them if you put it in his hands, he can turn it around. He was showing them that nothing is too daunting and too big for him to fix. He was showing them he's got the last word. And if you trust him, he's able. He was showing them that he's the greatest power. And nothing is too hard for him. He was showing them that no matter how it looks, God's got you. And I came to tell somebody on this beautiful day that the Lord has already got it worked out. You got to be willing to trust him even when you don't see him. And when you trust him, when you don't see him, he will prove to you how good he is.
This has been Living Extraordinary with Bishop John Guns. Join us Sundays in worship at 3738 Winton Drive, Jacksonville, Florida 32208. Visit us online at www.spmbcjacks.org for service times and more.